The synopsis. Vocabulary. Listen carefully to these words. You will hear them in the dialogue. Summary. Synopsis. To narrate. Point of view. Orphan. Dormitory. Bill. Regain his strength. Nevertheless. Obituary. Live-in companion. Wheelchair. Hermit. Hideout. Spine. To be confined to. Autobiography. Pneumonia. To inherit. To be caught in bed. Coincidence.
Hi, good to see you. Did you read the novel we were supposed to read for class? What was it called again? Something like Moon?
It is called Moon Palace, and yes, I've read it.
Me too, but I read it last week, and now I'm a bit afraid that I don't remember it well. Could you please help me with a brief summary?
Okay, no problem. The novel Moon Palace is narrated from the point of view of Marco Stanley Fogg. He tells the story of his youth and his experiences as a young man in New York City. The whole story begins in 1965 when Marco comes to New York City to study literature at Columbia University. Before the actual story starts, the reader is told about Marco's childhood. He is an orphan who has no idea who his father is. His mother dies in a bus accident when Marco is 11 years old. After that, he moves to his Uncle Victor in Chicago.
I remember Victor. He's a nice guy and Marco really likes him.
Yes, they get along very well. After Marco finishes high school, he decides to study literature at Columbia University in New York. For the first few years, he lives in a dormitory, but after that, he moves into his own apartment.
Marco's uncle, who is a musician, is on tour with his band, the Moon Men. Before he leaves, he gives Marco his book collection. These books are shipped from Chicago to New York, and Marco uses them as furniture in his apartment. Everything seems to work out well for Marco.
Unfortunately, Uncle Victor dies on his band tour, and Marco has to spend a lot of money on his uncle's funeral, leaving him with very little to live off of.
When Marco returns to New York, he slowly begins to run out of money. Instead of looking for ways to get financial help, he doesn't do anything.
What do you mean, he doesn't do anything?
Well, he somehow manages to pay his classes at the university, but he has to sell all of Uncle Victor's books. In his final year, he can't pay his electricity bills and his phone bills. He loses weight because he doesn't have money to buy food. And then he can't pay his rent anymore and he's kicked out of his apartment. This happens in the summer of 1969. Marco is homeless and he miserably spends his days and nights living in Central Park until he is rescued by his friend David Zimmer and a Chinese girl named Kitty Wu. Zimmer helps Marco to regain his strength and Kitty and Marco start a relationship.
Marco finds a job as a live-in companion for an elderly man in a wheelchair. This man, Thomas Effing, turns out to be a very special and difficult person. Nevertheless, Marco takes the job and moves into Effing's apartment. He reads to Effing because he is blind and takes him out for walks. After some time, Thomas Effing asks Marco to write an obituary for him because he knows that he will soon die. The old man dictates Marco the story of his life.
And this is indeed a fascinating story. Thomas Effing was once the painter Julian Barber, who disappeared in the wilderness of Utah in 1916.
Wait, slow down. Thomas Effing's real name was Julian Barber, right?
Yes, exactly. So Julian Barber, as a young painter, went on a trip out west with a friend. His friend had an accident and died. Barber didn't die, but he found refuge in a hermit's cave in a canyon. He stayed out there for a year before he killed three criminal brothers who used the cave as a hideout. He took the $20,000 of the brothers and started a new life in San Francisco with a new identity and a new name, Thomas Effing. In a nightly attack, he broke his spine and was confined to a life in a wheelchair. In 1920, Effing moved to Paris, where he met his friend Pavel Schum. They stayed in France for almost 20 years before they returned to New York.
Effing dictates this story to Marco, who writes everything down. Effing wants Marco to send his autobiography to his son, Solomon Barber. Solomon has no idea that his father, Julian Barber, is still alive.
That's interesting. This autobiography is for Effing's son, who doesn't know that his father is still alive. He believes that his father, Julian Barber, died in the West with his friend. He doesn't know that his father changed his name. That's why he never found him.
Exactly. But before Effing dies, he has the plan to give back the $20,000 he once took for himself. Remember from the criminal brothers? Marco helps him to hand out the money to strangers in the streets of New York. On the last excursion, it's raining, and Effing catches pneumonia. He dies shortly after. This is on May 12, 1970. Marco inherits some money and can start a calm life with his girlfriend, Kitty Wu. They rent a loft in Chinatown together.
5 months after Effing's death, Marco hears from Solomon Barber, who has received his father's autobiography. Solomon comes to New York and meets Marco. From this very first meeting on, the reader learns that Solomon Barber is Marco's father.
Wow! It seems everyone is related. They just don't know it.
Yes. Solomon used to be the history professor of Marco's mother, Emily Fogg. They were caught in bed, and this scandal made Sol lose his job. As a professor, he wasn't allowed to sleep with one of his students. Emily ran away, and Sol never knew that she was pregnant and that they had a son. Marco himself has no idea that Sol is his father. Sol is a very fat but very friendly man, and Marco likes him a lot. Marco gets to know the details of Sol's childhood, which were largely affected by the missing father, Julian Barber, and his mad mother.
Solomon moves to New York in January 1971 because he wants to be closer to his son and comes up with the plan to look for the cave Effing told Marco about. Marco and Kitty agree to help find it, but both do not take this plan seriously. Then Kitty finds out that she is pregnant. Marco wants to have the baby, but Kitty decides to have an abortion. Their relationship does not survive this crisis, and they break up. Now Solomon can convince Marco to come with him to Utah to look for the cave. They start their trip in July 1971. On their way, they stop in Chicago because Marco wants to visit his mother's grave. It is there, at the grave, that Marco finally realizes that Solomon is his father, because Sol cannot stop crying. Marco gets angry, and when Solomon moves away, he falls into an open grave and breaks his back. He dies 2 months later in the hospital.
After his death, Marco is left alone with the money that he has inherited from Solomon. He continues looking for the cave, but has to find out that if it ever existed, it is now flooded by Lake Powell. Marco's car and all the money in it are stolen, and Marco just starts walking westwards towards the Pacific. He arrives at Laguna Beach on the West Coast in January of 1972. Looking at the rising moon, Marco decides to start his life all over again.
Hey, you remember the story pretty well. Have you also identified some major themes and motifs of the novel? I mean, it is obvious right from the title that the moon is an important motif. Father-son relationships are a big issue, too. Think of Effing, Solomon Barber, and Marco. They are all related but have no idea at first. Effing actually never learns that Marco is his grandchild. This also points to another central theme of Moon Palace. All of these things happen coincidentally. Marco ends up as Effing's companion only by chance, and Effing has no idea that Solomon is Marco's father. There are many more coincidences in the novel.